We are now considering the second half of Romans 6, this most profound chapter in the Scriptures, particularly appropriate for the children of God. For those who are, as the Scriptures describe, in Christ. The one who is in Christ is the one who has surrendered himself, herself, in faith to Jesus Christ, Son of God, eternal God, one with the Father, our Savior and our Redeemer. What the Apostle is offering us here is indicative truth. This is what's true about you in Christ. Because you are in Christ, because you are now a new creation, you are a child of God, and you walk along in this life, in the day-to-day circumstances and choices of life. This is what's true about you. This is what you have at your disposal. It's important for us, as we have the text this morning is verses 18 and 19. Let's begin at verse 16 of chapter 6, so that we have a little bit of contextual review. The Apostle says in Romans 6:16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." And our text this morning ends with the one imperative that we will consider. A little bit of contextual review here. What we have in verse 16 is what the Apostle Paul says, that whatever you yield to becomes your master. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Whoever you yield to willingly becomes your master." Did you ever fly a kite? I have. It's a lot of fun. I taught my boys how to fly a kite. Had to chase that kite down a few times. Out of the trees, 70-foot oaks, with no rope. Had to call the fire department, the electrical company one time, to get it out of the wires. They were gracious enough to do that without billing us anything. A kite has a string. A kite has to have somebody holding the string. If a kite doesn't have somebody holding the string, what happens? It is driven by the wind. It is out of control. It is out of control due to the forces of nature. And the wind will drive it either into a tree or a briar bush or wrap it around an electrical power line. It has to have somebody holding the string. And here's the problem. You and I are like that kite. Because the adversary came to the first man and first woman and said, "Cut that string. If you really want to know freedom, cut that string. And then you'll find out what freedom really is." And they cut it. And they became enslaved to the forces of nature. Because that kite yields itself by cutting the string to the forces of nature, it becomes enslaved to nature. This is what Paul is teaching us in verses 18 and 19. He begins this in verse 16. And he says very clearly in verse 17 that you were, and this is past tense, you were, remember he's talking to Christians, you were slaves of sin. You were this kite wrapped around the power cord or trapped in the branches of a tree. And what good is a kite trapped in the branches of a tree? It's no good. Nobody admires a kite trapped in the branches of a tree. A kite is successful in fulfilling its purpose when it's freely floating up in the sky with somebody holding the string. You see, when the apostle says of the believers that you were past tense, because this is before Christ, before they were in Christ, before they had come to faith in Christ, you were slaves of sin, meaning that they had no choice but to be driven by the wind, by the natural forces of their flesh. And then he says, because he's speaking to persons here, and persons created in God's image, we are rational, yes, but we are also volitional beings. We have will. There is a choice to be made. He says, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. In other words, they yielded to the redemptive, transforming truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came to do what? To reattach that string. And by reattaching that string, what did he do? He placed us back in the control of the sovereign, benevolent Creator. That's why he says in verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. As the Redeemer came and reattached that string of control, he lifted you out of the briars of bondage and liberated you to fly once again. But only because the string is attached. Having been set free from sin. What is that? He's describing a surgical process of where the body of sin, as he says earlier in chapter 6, has been cut loose, freed from the sinful nature, still influenced by it, but not under its control. And we have been liberated. We have been set free from sin. It's like the kite being set free from the entangling wires and briar branches. That's the freedom now that we have. The psalmist said it well. Psalm 116, verse 16. O Lord, truly I am your servant. You have loosed my bonds. Isn't that beautiful? I am your servant. What is that? Slavery. You have loosed my bonds. It is a preferred slavery. It is, as Sam sang this morning, a better freedom. It is true freedom. When is a kite free? When it's floating in the winds attached to the string. If a kite cuts that string, it's not free. A kite without a string is not free. It is bound, it is enslaved to the forces of nature. And so he says, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That you became slaves of righteousness. I like what Ken Wiest says here. You were constituted bond slaves to righteousness. In other words, he's speaking of a reconstitution, a transformation, a change that happens in the individual, in the person. Because before you were in Christ, you were this. You were under the domain of the kingdom of darkness. But when you surrendered yourself in faith to Christ, you were translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And you have become a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are now constituted as bond slaves to righteousness. This is what Paul is teaching us. I used before the metaphor, the illustration of a chicken versus an eagle. A chicken might be able to fly for a very, very short distance, but have you ever seen a chicken soar? No. What would make that chicken soar? By adding more feathers to it? I mean, envision this in your mind. More feathers on a chicken. You know. Or maybe it's if you add nicer looking feathers to the chicken, more colors, so that it becomes more attractive. Is that what would make a chicken soar? This is not a hard question. The answer is no. You see, what happens to the believer is that God transforms the believer from being a chicken to become an eagle. And an eagle soars. Or a hawk, or a beautiful bird like that. We were up at Pilot Mountain yesterday. We saw these beautiful hawks soaring around. And sometimes I wish I could be one of them. But you see, in Christ, we were created for specific reasons. Why can an eagle soar? Why does an eagle soar? Can you answer that for me? Why does an eagle soar? Because it can. An eagle soars because it can. It doesn't sit there and think about, oh, how hard it is to soar. No. Does it have to learn? Yeah. Because when we come to Christ, we are then eaglets, right? And an eaglet has to be what? Pushed out of the nest. And maybe take a couple tumbles, but it has to learn to fly and then to soar, doesn't it? And so it is with you and me. But we soar because we can. And that's God's intent and design for us. This is what Paul is teaching us. It's in our nature. We are constituted bond slaves to righteousness. Another way you could put this is we become citizen subjects of the kingdom of righteousness. Citizen subjects of the kingdom of righteousness. Because we belong to it. As Paul says to the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. He says to the Ephesians, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. To the Colossians, he says, we've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What is this kingdom? It is a kingdom of righteousness. The writer of Hebrews says, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Why is that our kingdom? Why are we citizens, subjects of that kingdom? Because we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And His kingdom is in the believer. That is the place where Christ reigns. And therefore, we are citizens, subjects of the kingdom of righteousness. This is why the Lord said, as He taught us to pray, He said what? Your kingdom do what? Come, your will be done. Those are one and the same thing. Where His will is done is where His kingdom reigns. On earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? That what's happening here on earth in my day-to-day, in my life, is exactly the same thing that's going on in heaven. Now, there's a question for you to answer, isn't it? What's going on in heaven? The delight and service of the Creator. That's what's going on. And it's not just working and serving. It's delight. That happens first. And the service is an outflow of that delight. So we are, in fact, citizen subjects of the kingdom of righteousness. Now, the apostle goes into what almost sounds like an apology here in verse 19. He says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. What he is saying is, as he is writing to them at Rome, many, many in the church at Rome, many Romans, in fact, were slaves. They were in bondage to other people. So he is writing this in the historical backdrop, the circumstances of their reality that they knew. So he is teaching in the context of slavery. When he talks about slavery, everybody knew the image, the metaphor of slavery. So he is presenting here spiritual truth illustrated through human relationships as imperfect and abusive and as stigmatized as those relationships were. He used them as a metaphor. Now, of course, in human slavery, there was a great deal of oppression, a great deal of abuse. As we said before, slaves were considered tools that speak. So if you were my slave, I simply used you to accomplish my ambitions. Things aren't all that different today, are they? To use someone else to accomplish my ambitions. That is why Paul said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with lowliness of mind, consider others better than yourself." You see, that's the mind of Christ. That's what we're rescued from. But there's a great contrast there as he speaks to them in the context of slavery, and that slavery was abusive and oppressive. This is the point of his illustration right here. Faith in Christ is nothing short of surrendering to a new master. It is the kite that is trapped in the briar bush that has become essentially useless, that allows itself to be reconnected to the controller, the creator, the benevolent sovereign. And because that connection is made, he is then able to be lifted out of the briar patch. Faith in Christ is nothing short of surrender to a new master. And instead of being an oppressive and an abusive master, who is the master to whom we are now connected? He is, in fact, the good and kind, benevolent, sovereign Redeemer. He is the one who laid down his life so that you could be brought back to him. Is he not worthy of your surrender? The apostle now amplifies this contrast of the two masters. He says in verse 19, "For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness." That's what was true before. Here's the fact of the matter. We were rebels. We were not victims. We were rebels, not victims. In other words, we presented ourselves as slaves to uncleanness leading to lawlessness. What is that? That is a willful choice. I will be self-preeminent. I will not be under God's control. That's not victimhood. That's rebellion. Every one of us was born with that bent. That's what we needed rescue from. We cut the string thinking we would be free. And in doing so, we sold ourselves into bondage to sin. He says that we were slaves, just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness. We were slaves of the natural forces of desire and passion, like the winds driving the kite without a string. That is what the Bible refers to as the flesh trapped and in bondage to it. That is the human condition without Christ. What it means is that we are moving farther in a deviation from God's character and purpose. As the Apostle John says, sin is lawlessness. Let me use another metaphor here, if I may, that of a foundation. I have seen a building. You know, buildings are symmetrical. They're square. right? There's something important about having the walls square with each other. The foundation first has to be square, because if the foundation isn't going one way, then the walls that go up that are square, if the foundation isn't square, something's going to be off, and that wall is going to be off the foundation. I have literally seen a building like that, where they had to readjust the foundation to meet the squareness of the wall. I could even show it to you today. It's really a funny sight. But here's what happens. You lay a brick, you lay a block down for the foundation, right? And it's ostensibly supposed to go in a very straight line. And it's supposed to be square with the other parts of the building too. And so what you're supposed to have is the reference point at the other end. You lay that block and you are headed straight for that reference point at the other end. And here's what happens. You set that first block down and it looks like it's square with that other point. And you're looking at it, you're eyeing it. There's the first problem. Your own understanding, okay? And it looks good. It's only like a 1/16 of an inch off. And then you go to lay the second block down. And this is what we do when we build our own lives. You go to lay that second block down, and what becomes the reference? What becomes the reference for that second block? The first block. Do you see the problem there? This is the problem of a self-preeminent life. You become your own reference point, and you lose sight of the reference point. And it may only be a 1/16 of an inch deviation over here, but what is it when you get down here? Your feet may be yards off. You have deviated from the character and the purpose of God, of the reference point. This is what sin does. It takes us down the wrong path, away from the one who is the only reference point to our lives, and that is the infinite, sovereign, benevolent Creator. And it'll take us farther and farther away from Him. So, the person who cuts that string from the controller, that liberty that we thought we had by liberating ourselves from the control of the Creator, when you do that, you have as much liberty as a kite without a string. Have you ever seen a kite without a string? It doesn't go far. And it is completely out of control. So it is the problem with humanity. And there's a story in the Bible that illustrates that perfectly. It is the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, and prodigal means lavish. He's a lavish son. And what did he do? He cut himself from the control of his father. He took himself out from underneath that. And he went and he lived a prodigal life, a lavish life. And where did it take him? Where did it take him? It took him into the pig pen. There's a truth in that. He was a kite without a string. And yet you see in that picture where the prodigal son recognizes that he is not free. He must surrender himself once again to his father, and he does. And as his father draws him back and he lavishes him with love and embrace, he submits himself once again to his father. And in that submission, what does he find? Freedom. A better freedom. Not the pig pen. A better freedom. Under the control and in submission to his father. That brings us then to the only imperative in this text so far. Imperative means, this is a command, do this. What does he say? Present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So now, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Let me paraphrase that for you. Choose to live according to your design. you have been constituted a slave of righteousness, choose to live according to design. If you are an eagle, learn to soar. If you are a kite, submit yourself to the control of the string. You know what I've seen a kite do sometimes? A kite can get bent out of shape. Just one corner of it. And when it gets bent out of shape, the forces of nature take that and it puts the kite into a dive. You know, there's a beautiful spiritual application in there, and I don't think I really need to paint it for you, do I? You get bent out of shape, you take a dive. Peter did that. He exercised great faith. The Lord is walking on the water. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Can you imagine what's going on in the Lord's mind right then? Watch this. He says, come. And Peter comes. What was he thinking? He was thinking submission and control of the sovereign who's out there walking on the water. But what happens? What happens? He gets distracted. He gets distracted. And when you get distracted from the author and finisher of your faith, what happens? You start to sink. The Bible is so chock full of such beautiful metaphors, isn't it? You see, we are a slave of righteousness. Choose to live according to your design. Now, here's a very important point in this, okay? Very important point. While you are constituted, this is, I'm speaking to Christians, okay? While you are constituted in righteousness, the freedom that comes from the walk of faith is a choice. It is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. The very idea of commitment is meaningless without challenge. The very idea of commitment is meaningless without challenge. So let me present to you this morning priority number one, which is my paraphrase of the last part of verse 19. Priority number one. And this is using the metaphor of the kite and the string. Please catch the play on words in this. Priority number one. Be sure the connection, the string, be sure the string stays what? Tight. Tight. If that string is not tight, there is no control over that kite. Keep it tight. Keep it tight. Christians, that's your number one priority in your walk of faith. Because when that string stays tight, the control is automatic. And the one controlling that string is the sovereign creator who loves you deeply. And he's good. Keep it tight. Because when it gets loose, control is forfeited. Here's an excellent point in this. And this is all in the slaves of righteousness as a contrast to the slavery that once was of oppression and abuse. We are slaves of righteousness. We have found a better freedom. God's control is as liberating to you as the string is to the kite. God's control is as liberating to you as the string is to the kite. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. What's that? People that are under the domain of darkness. They are oppressed and abused. They are fed up with life. Come unto me, all you who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. And then what does he say? Take my what? Yoke. What is that? Let me put it straight for you. It's bondage. It's slavery. It's allowing that string to be connected so that you are under his control and not you being driven by the forces of nature. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Somebody said it beautifully this last week. I'm actually forgetting who actually said it. But a yoke usually has two parts to it, right? There's, you know, two oxen pulling together. And why is his yoke easy and his burden light? Because Christ is in the other side of the yoke. And you're walking with him. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Someone said it well. This is good. This is good. Christ's yoke. What is that? That's control, right? That's control. Christ's yoke is like feathers to a bird. Except a chicken, of course. Christ's yoke is like feathers to a bird. What is the outcome of this, the very end of verse 19? So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for what? Holiness, sanctification. Big, long theological words, aren't they? That word is hagiosmos. It means purification. It's the idea of progressive sanctification. It means becoming holy. What does holy mean? Set apart. Set apart. For a specific purpose, to fulfill a specific design. What was a kite designed to do? It was designed to float in the wind and impress. When a kite does that, it's successful. When a kite is trapped in the briar bushes or wrapped around a power cord, is that kite successful? No, it's not. Hagiosmos. The outcome is holiness. What this is sainthood. Sainthood, set apart from God. We have, in some churches, they unfortunately take this way too far. Because the New Testament refers to those of us who are in Christ as saints. We are called to be saints. And some people, when they think of a saint, they think of a really holy person who has done some incredible things. And they're just, nobody can be like them. That's not true. That's not what a saint is, according to the Scriptures. Let me tell you this. If you are in Christ, if you have surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ, you are what? A saint. You are a holy one. Why? Because God has declared you righteous. And therefore, you are constituted a slave of righteousness. Therefore, choose to live according to your design. You have been set free. That string is attached. Let him lift you up into the wind so that you can float and be successful. Successful. Careful with that word, okay? Careful with that word. When is a kite successful? When it's doing what it was designed to do. When are you successful as an individual? When you are doing what you were designed to do. What were you designed to do? Delight in God. That's what you were designed to do. Delight in Him and serve Him with delight. You were designed to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what you were designed to do. When you do that is when you're successful. What a powerful truth that is. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. There is a better freedom in Christ, and it is true freedom. As the kite attached to the string is free, and someone holding the string, the kite is free. But if it cuts loose, it might think it's free, but it will find out soon that it's not. Faith means allowing Christ to come to you and you surrender yourself to Him to allow that string to be reconnected so that you're reconciled to Him. And then he lifts you out of the briar patch and sets you free in the wind so that you can fly, so that you can soar. That's the better freedom of Romans 6. That's what Christ has for you. Have you surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ?